Having the authority to negotiate or not yet? How we negotiate with the two provinces here?
How did you reach it? Negotiation numbers. Are they having
two provinces?
Are they proposing? Are they any students proposing an amendment?
Yeah. KCT, Western State, and one other province that each member.
Okay. So
Yeah.
Honorable Watson, you welcome here. Mr. Bengu, you heartily welcome as special delegate. All the honorable members are heartily welcome to this early meeting at 8 o'clock. Since I chaired this committee, this is the first time starting a meeting at 8. So it's good, Honorable Matanyane, you're welcome from Limpopo, Honorable Van Rooyen from the Free State, Honorable, you know, and KZN, Eastern Cape, everybody's here. We welcome the department as well. We're glad you are here that we can start negotiating the mandates before us. We have a very short space of time because we have to deal with two negotiating mandates from now to 11 o'clock. But I believe we will be able to make that. I would love to appeal to the special, to the permanent delegate as well as special delegates who will be dealing with your negotiating mandate that you precisely know what are the amendments proposed from the side of your province. You must be on the map immediately. You must know these are the amendments brought forward. Some issues are general, not having any bearing on amending the bill, but we check who are those who are having amendments towards a particular bill. I would love to know who's leading the department, and maybe they could introduce themselves to know who all are here.
All right. My name is Nolwa Zakobina. I am the Itsing DDG for HUP. And I have got with me three colleagues that are going to be dealing with the waste bill, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Okay, I'm Linda Garlop. I'm Acting Chief Director, Legal Services, from the department.
I'm Jenny Hall. I'm a consultant who assisted the department with drafting the bill.
My name is Obed Baloyi, the Director for Waste Policy and Information Management from the department.
Thank you very much that you are here. Honourable members, you are all welcome. Honourable Freddie Adams, you're welcome. And we're now going to start. And I would love us to be clear what we are now going to do. I'm now going to call on the Eastern Cape to present the negotiating mandate. And they must be precise to know if there are proposals, amendment proposals from the side of the province, so that we negotiate immediately on those issues before we move to the next province. Eastern Cape.
As Chairperson, I'm still having a problem with my negotiating mandate. I'm still waiting the correct version of the mandate. Instead of they're supposed to say negotiating, they've said final mandate. I can't read it. The copies are still reproduced. With your respect, I'll come in the last round.
Okay.
I do have a mandate, but just because they did send a negotiating mandate, then they were thinking that is final mandate. But I'm waiting for the correct version of my mandate.
Okay. This is negotiating mandate.
Yes.
We're dealing with negotiating mandate, not with final mandate.
But
we're
voting.
Now, if you agree that's the end of my mandate, then we'll have
No. Honourable Member, I think it's clear. We have to move on without any wasting of time. Let's move to the Free State.
Honourable Member.
Chairperson, can I negotiate with Free State to start so that I can be relieved? Because I have another meeting to attend.
Oh, you want to?
Yes, but the special delegate from KZN will remain.
Okay.
Thanks.
I think you disagree. There's nothing
wrong with that.
Thanks.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's allow then KZN to kick off.
Thanks, Chairperson. On Bill 39B,
let's see the first. Where are you? Oh, got it.
Okay. Firstly, on page 2, under general comments, Chairperson, the province of KwaZulu-Natal welcomes and supports, in principle, the introduction of this legislation. Okay? I'm not going to deal with the others. But Chairperson 1, they are proposing the definition of waste. That's point number one. And the reasons are there, and I'm not going to read them. If I'm allowed, should I go through that?
Yeah, in fact, we must deal issue by issue. If you say
okay.
the definition of waste,
okay,
we will have to get the department coming in. What are their comments on that? We go point by point until we conclude the negotiating mandate. Let's hear what the department is having to say on one, the definition of waste. And we hear from other provinces also, what are they having to say, whether they agree or they disagree.
Okay, Chair. Can I make a proposal, Chairperson, that I tabled all the proposed amendment on Bill 39,
okay.
And then the department will come
all
in.
Right.
Thanks, Chair. Okay, they are saying the definition of waste remains extremely broad, and the province would encourage this definition to be revisited in favor of a more specific definition. They said certain forms of waste, such as waste from electronic products and gadgets, which is potentially hazardous, so-called white waste, is not included in the definition, and nor is waste from ships, which has the potential to cause devastating consequences for our country, such as an outbreak of foot and mouth diseases. In addition, it should be noted that by excluding any portion of waste, once reused, recycled, and recovered, and being defined as waste is contrary to international norms and definitions, most notably the definition of waste in the Basel Convention, to which South Africa is a signatory. Number 2, exclusion of healthcare risk waste. Whilst it is understood that is the it is the intention of the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism to deal with healthcare waste in subsequent regulations, it is extremely unfortunate that this critical issue was not dealt with as a chapter of the bill, as it would have given this form of waste the status it should be afforded. This particular industry, that is the collection and processing of healthcare waste, remains problematic with inappropriate dumping and processing continually occurring. The department is urged to reconsider the inclusion of such a chapter dealing with the regulation of this form of waste. Number three is the exclusion of mining waste. It is also alarming that the mining waste is not regulated in this bill, given that mining waste constitutes about 83% of waste generated in the country and constantly leads to water pollution. It is submitted that this should not be left to DME to regulate, and it should seize this opportunity to deal with this form of waste effectively in this bill. Disposal of waste by means of incineration. Section 26 prohibits the disposal of waste in a manner that is likely to cause pollution of the environmental or harm to health and well-being, and certainly incineration would fall to be defined as such a manner of disposal given the effect, the effects it may have. However, as incineration is not specifically referred to as a prohibited method of disposal, the provision remains open to interpretation, which is of concern. It is submitted that the government stance on incineration should be clearly expressed in the bill. It is submitted that salvaging has many more benefits than incineration, as many poor people in the country currently generate a sustainable income from salvaging and selling waste. Definition of municipality.
No, I'm sorry.
Come in.
With due respect, Honorable Oliphant, I'm worried. I was thinking when she was saying is tabling it, each department did receive this. Maybe they can just now answer, because I've seen other provinces, they've got a lot of reading presentation. So we've got not enough time. At 11, we're starting the plenary. And I don't want to tamper with your proposal, but I'm worried today we won't finish this meeting. I was thinking that if by chance department they did get, they must do what we have said, not as a reading. We have said we are tabling our mandates as they are, and then point number one, they respond 2, 3, 4, rather than as the payment delegates are reading. Just because I've seen with other provinces, they've got a lot of proposals. So I'm worried about time.
Okay. Okay, I concur with what you're saying. And again, when a proposal comes to the fore, is it amending something or is it just talking generically? If it's general, what are we negotiating? Are you listening, Honourable Members? I'm having a problem. I'm listening to say we differ with this, but we're proposing that it should read like this, so that then we negotiate whether we agree or not. But if there's no specific proposal, what are we going to negotiate? And therefore, it has to be very clear with the provinces. When they say we should not say in, but we should say on, then we check whether we agree not to read in, but to read on. We check with all the provinces. But if they make a general statement, it's going to be very difficult really to, because they don't have a specific proposal. They are proposing something to be looked at. So we should be very clear on that. Come in, Honourable Member.
Chair, yeah, I'm just a bit confused because on page 4, there is specific amendments proposed. But so I'm just worried, why are we doing the comments on the bill and there is specific amendments? mustn't we deal with a specific amendment?
Once amendments, yes, not general things. That's why I'm appealing to the members, come up with what is being amended, something that amends the bill. That's what we are negotiating, whether do we agree or not. But not generic statements.
Chair. Okay, fine, Chair. But I think, Chairperson, I was misled by the directive that we have agreed upon. But nevertheless, it's okay. I will table the proposal, specific amendments proposed on page 4 and page 5. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's on page 4 and page 5, specific amendment proposed. That's the thing we're looking for. Let's get the department coming in to lead us on one, and we follow that order.
All right. Thanks, Chairperson. On the specific amendment number one, the department agrees that act, the act should change from the Financial and Fiscal Commission Act to the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act.
So the department agrees?
Yes.
Agreed?
It was an error.
Other provinces, do you agree? Or do you have dissenting views? Agreed. It is agreed. Let's move to the second one.
Then on amendment, on the specific amendment number 2, our response to the department was that we found no rights for municipalities, or rather for MSCs in the constitution that allows them to set tariffs. So we as a department, we can't agree with that amendment because there isn't anything in the constitution that allows MSCs to set tariffs. You have to set standards for tariffs.
Okay. Provinces? The department is saying they don't agree because it's not constitutional. Honourable Member?
But, Chairperson, is that the reason for declining it? Because I know on certain issues the MECs can set standards and tariffs. Why just on this specific issue?
This particular one, we looked very carefully at the Constitution. There is the MECs haven't got a right to set norms and standards for tariffs. And that goes for the same argument would go for 3. We're saying the Constitution doesn't provide. But the Constitution doesn't provide, so you're not going to find it in the Constitution.
It does not provide.
Honorable Adams?
On page 12 of the bill, it says provincial norms and standard. The relevant MEC within his or her jurisdiction must ensure the implementation of the National Waste Management Strategy and national norms and standards completed in Section 6 and 7 respectively. And if we look further on this amendment, it says say amendment below on page 12 after line 7. The MEC with the concurrence of the MEC for Finance, and that states in the bill as well.
Do the department understand the argument?
We're just trying to understand the member's contribution. What we're saying is that there's nothing in the Constitution for MSCs to set norms and standards for tariffs. I think what the member's raising is not for tariffs.
But then my question again is to the answer.
Your mic, honorable member. Your mic.
Are you fine? Honorable member.
So it's very vague. It's broad, it's very vague. Says it should set norms and standards, doesn't say specifically tariffs or anything. It's very vague. It's very wide. It's open. So, I mean, I would presume that reasonable doubt would say tariffs included.
Chairperson, we would like to disagree with that. What this particular section says is that each municipality is going to perform its executive authority and perform its duty in relation to waste services, including waste collection, waste storage, and waste disposal services by doing a whole lot of things. For example, provide, if you look at D, providing such services at an affordable price in line with the tariff policy referred to in Chapter 8 of the Municipal Systems Act. So that makes reference to something that's already in the Municipal Systems Act. It doesn't talk about them setting norms and standards for tariffs.
So you're saying it's already there?
We're saying that there isn't provision for setting of norms and standards by MECs for tariffs at local government.
What are the provinces having to say? Honourable Van Rey.
Chairperson, if we are dealing with the second one, I think the KwaZulu-Natal has got a point here, because it says it is submitted that as these tariffs are to be implemented by municipalities, they should be determined by the provincial MEC. And I think that is the crux of the matter. And I think it makes sense to me.
What are the other provinces saying?
Yeah, Western Cape also agree with KwaZulu-Natal because it's in the MEC of Environmental Affairs in conjunction with the MEC of Finance. So, I mean, and it states here, MECs, doesn't just say one MEC. So as the National Minister the National Minister of Environmental Affairs has to concur with the National Minister of Finance, why can't it be brought down to the level of the provincial government? So, I mean, as province, I would agree with Free State and KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you very much, Honourable.
I'm thinking that whilst I'm not yet tabling my mandate, it does have that in one other point, which means even the Eastern Cape is proposing that. But I don't want to refer you because I'm not yet tabled my mandate.
Which means you're supporting. We want to hear the provinces that are supporting. You want to come in?
Yes, Chairperson, I think that we're going to be sitting with the problem around the constitutionality of this bill, because we can't be doing things in this bill that are not constitutional. We've got to make sure that every
the law advisor?
Sorry?
The state law advisor. Do you have this state law advisor?
The state law advisor isn't here, but this is a section that was consulted with them, along with a few of the other sections.
How do we go on with the negotiating mandate when the state law advisor is not there?
The committee can deal with that.
We cannot accept that. We cannot accept that at all. We must move at a pace that we are able, you know, to maneuver within the given time. We must have a state law advisor when we have in proposals amendments from the province.
Chairperson, I would agree with that, but I think that the state law advisor acts for the state, and therefore it isn't within our responsibility as a department to make sure that the state law advisor is here. They act for the state. They don't act for the department.
Where are your law advisors?
We have our drafter here, we have our acting chief director for legal services, and so in terms of the lawyers for the department, we have our guys. And we had advised the state law advisor.
Chairperson, I think if five provinces agree, then it goes on, and we just move on. The department must convince us that it's unconstitutional. If five provinces agree to the amendments, then it goes.
Thank you, Honourable Matt.
Chairperson, just allow me a few minutes just to look for the sections in the Act, and I can show you what is in the Constitution in relation to tariffs, in relation to provinces. Because I do have the sections.
You got it now?
Yes. I just want to search for it quickly.
You search it?
Yeah, for 1 minute.
Okay, let's move to... You wanted to come in?
Yes. I just want to clarify one point, as the Acting DG has put it here, that... We bring only our own local advisors. The calling, the invitation, and of state law advisors is the duty of the committee section. And as Asuka is indicating that he did inform the state law advisors. If they fail, it's not up to the department to hold them in the meeting. They are called by...
Okay. Honourable member, she's still checking. Can we go to three?
But my problem is that maybe they will saying this, and we don't want to be challenged in the court. The state law advisor is so important when we're doing negotiating, even to formulate the proposal. So I don't know if now in the next province or on the next sentence we'll need the advice of the state law advice. What are we going to do? I'm not saying we must not proceed, but maybe we'll be having the same problems. We can proceed maybe with other provinces will be having this problem. So I'm asking that whoever can assist us to check with this Office of State Law Advice. One other bill we had to adjourn just because we wanted to finalize the bill, and we're saying we cannot finalize the bill without state law advice, just because also we don't want to be challenging the Constitutional Court. We can agree upon ourselves, but also we need an advice from the state advice, just because in turn, whoever, they'll take us to the Constitutional Court.
You have said it all. It puts us in a predicament now. Are you there?
The only two provisions in the constitution that I could find in relation to municipalities is section 120 in relation to money bills. A bill is a money bill if appropriate money imposes provincial taxes, levies, duties, surcharges, abolish or reduces or grant exemptions from any provincial taxes, levies, duties, surcharges. But then, also on the provincial taxes, section 228 of the Constitution, a provincial legislature may impose taxes, levies, duties other than income tax, value-added tax, general sales tax, flat rate surcharges on any tax, levy or duty that is imposed by national legislation other than corporate income tax, value-added tax rates and property or customs duties. It doesn't give them the power to set norms and standards. They can impose the duties, the levies, the charges, but not setting the norms and standards. That is how I understood it.
Thanks, Chairperson, and my colleague has addressed a lot of what pertains to suggested amendment number 3. If we go back to what the proposal is actually saying is that the national minister mustn't be allowed to set these tariffs, the standards for tariffs, that it must just be the provincial MSCs that must do it. And in terms of section 44, subsection 2 of the constitution, the national minister has that mandate. So it can't be taken away from the national minister.
Chief President, although just he quoted these things to us, I'm still not convinced that it's clear on this issue. My suggestion is that we keep it until the legal advisor, state law advisor, advises otherwise, because we're negotiating here. And if the province, 5 of them agree to it, it is for the legal state advisor to tell us, no, it can't be like that. But I'm of the opinion that if 5 provinces agree to it, it stands until we are advised otherwise at the final mandates.
Okay, let's agree that the provinces agree to the amendment proposed by KZN, and therefore I think we should try to get the state law advisor. When, I don't know. But it is agreed. We're moving on. It is agreed. We would love to have the state law advisor coming in there. Number three
is the same. Do you agree with it? Agreed. Number four.
Okay. In terms of the specific amendment proposed, we think the department thinks that that is an unnecessary amendment because in legislation, this menu always includes parole. So that's a general principle in legislation.
Is that clear from the provinces? Are the provinces agreeing with what the department is saying? You agree. And other provinces? You all agree. Agree. So this one is not, we don't agree to the proposal from KZN and point number four. Not agree. Number five.
Number five, the department accepts the amendment.
The department accepts the amendment. Provinces? Agreed. We agree. Number six? Number six, department?
Number six, we agree.
Number six, department agrees. Provinces agree. Number seven? Department?
Number seven, Chairperson, the department is very concerned about the fact that there would be a duplication of reporting requirements. It just makes the reporting quite onerous. And so we thought that if reporting happens to the minister, it should suffice. Otherwise, you have a very onerous responsibility.
Provinces? Sorry? I don't hear an honourable member.
Chairperson, just a second. I just want to read it and see if it makes sense.
Okay.
I agree with KZN that, I mean, the MEC should also be included in there.
Same. Okay. No.
Yeah, we agree just because
okay. Agreed, seven
the
agree.
Land, it's within MEC.
Okay. Okay. Thank you
very much. Thank you very much. Honorable members. Number eight, department.
Just give us one moment, Chairperson. We agree with the amendment, Chairperson.
You agree. Department agrees.
All the provinces agrees. That's number, that's 8, né? We agree. 9.
Number
9. No. Chairperson, that section, let me just read it, line 12, where is it? It says that the licensing authority may invite written comments from any organ of state that has an interest in the matter, and what the amendment, the proposal, is that should be a must. And what the department would prefer is that we're not forced to get written comments, because sometimes we may want a meeting, not necessarily have written comments. It just allows for that flexibility.
Honourable
Van Rijen.
Yeah, I think
other provinces?
Other provinces? You agree that it should be masked. Yeah, agreed. Ken?
Number 10? We must move.
All right. In terms of 10, we agreed with that. And what when we went through that section, what the department realized was that we needed to change the subsequent clauses. So instead of them referring to the waste management officers, they should in fact be referring to environmental management inspectors.
So you agree? You agree with that?
It's nothing additional. It's already there in subsection 1.
Okay.
Chairperson. I just want to read out to you the subsequent sections that should be referring to EMIs and not waste management officers. It is section 66, subsection 2, subsection 4, as well as 6.
Provinces?
Just to have that Officers Lucien Afrikaans continuity come our own event. So I will agree that waste management officers should change to environmental management inspector.
So all provinces agree? Agreed. 11.
Chair, we consider the inclusion of time frames quite carefully, and time frames are, when you start specifying, can be awkward because people, like we have at the moment where there's 90-day time frame period, they start arguing they're on 88 and so on. Thresholds like that are a problem. So we considered that in the drafting. We decided to get around that difficulty of people avoiding regulatory obligations by playing basically with time frames, by linking the activity to the construction of the facility and associated structures. So in other words, the time period becomes inapplicable because the obligation to get a license is triggered when you want to construct the facility. What you don't want is a situation where people say, I've only had the waste for 90 days, or I'm not up to my 200 tons at this stage, I don't need the license, I only apply when I get to the 200 tons. We've linked it to the construction of the facility that said, as soon as you've got the capacity to do that, you need the license before you start doing it. So in those circumstances, I don't think we're having a disagreement about intention, but we think it's unnecessary because of the linking it to construction. That was quite quick. If you need me to go more slowly, that's fine.
Well, let's hear the provinces. The department is saying it's almost the same thing. Which means they agree and they say we need not take it up if it's saying the same thing. Come in. Number 11, come in.
Chair, I don't know. I would tend to agree with the department because in the building environment, it's very hard to put down specific time frames. So I don't know. I don't know if my other colleagues agree, but I think I would propose that we leave it as it is.
Okay. All the provinces? Thank you. Not agreed to, let's go to 12.
Chair, can we just understand from KZN where the bill talks about effluent?
Sorry. To hear from KZN.
The specific reference that they want change, we don't understand where it is.
Maybe
KZN just help us.
Come in here.
Thank you, Chair. Though I could not, I'm not a guru on this, but we would to do an extensive consultation with the relevant stakeholders that are dealing from municipalities up to the department, the provincial department.
Come in,
Anil. Yeah, I think KwaZulu-Natal, I will agree with them, because these things must be in line talking to each other. Effluent can mean a lot of things also, but water-containing waste is very clear what it means. So I agree.
Other provinces? Agreed. Agreed.
It's on the condition that we have set out in this parliament that our bills should be reader-friendly. People friendly, and you know, so people would understand water containing waste much more better than effluent.
Okay. So it is agreed. Thank you, KZN. Let's move on to Limpopo.
Honorable member.
Just. That excludes ships. And I think we have signed, and we all members of that committee have signed some conventions the other day. We keep the basis in our. So I'm asking the party just to have a look at it as it includes waste from ships. We signed the international convention. I think we're going to be in the summit for the point.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think we want to thank KZN for the proposal they've made. Most of them have been taken up. Thank you so much for that. Limpopo, we don't want to listen to generic things. If there are proposals, let's move straight in whatever proposal. You could guide us which page do we have to look into. If there are proposals. If there are no proposals, if there are general statements, then we move on.
Chairperson, with Limpopo, it's general statements, and they can hold on, Chairperson. They just want to indicate that they are requesting that the proposal from the public hearing should be taken into consideration when they support the provisions of the bill and they confirm mandates. That's all, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. In the future, when they got something from the public hearings, they must formulate and come up with valid proposals. We want this to read this way, not this way. So there's nothing we can do if they bring it before this committee. Honourable Member?
Chairperson, I think the problem lies with our liaison officers. I'm faced with exactly the same problem. I see the mandates in front of me this morning for the first time.
I haven't seen my problems yet. Now
I have to now negotiate on something I haven't even seen yet. And really, you know, after 14 years or 15 years, we should now know what the hell we're supposed to do. And I don't think we do. If a mandate like this arrives on the desk of the liaison officer, they should inform the province that it's incorrect. In my briefings, I told the chairpersons. And yet they still come like this.
Thank you very much. We've got the point.
So I think we must please advise the chairperson that the liaison officer should be properly educated.
No, maybe we will have to do that. We'll have to take that responsibility that they do it in the future. because I don't even know what stands on my province. But otherwise, Limpopo supports. Let's move to Mpumalanga.
Let's move to Mpumalanga.
Chairperson, sorry, we haven't got Mpumalanga's mandate.
Let's get Mpumalanga. We hope they are also talking in general, you know, then we won't have problems.
So that we can. Honorable member.
Chairperson, maybe as whips of different provinces and even yourself, we must try to talk to our provinces. As I'm sitting here, I'm seeing even the department still reading these mandates. I'm not sure when did they receive. So there is a rule which all ask and monitors, they know when the mandates must reach the committee and the department. So sometimes we'll be accusing the department, but the problem I'm suspecting, our provinces, they are not doing justice to our servant, to each department, just because we were expecting that each department must come already consulted and read each and every province's mandate. So that's the problem that we're
having. Thank you, Honourable Member. I think that's a matter we have to look into. We don't expect mandates to be here at the eve of the negotiating mandate. In fact, there should be ample time, really, for the department and for the members to be able, even to be able to liaise with your province, if something is not very clear in your mind. Honorable Bengu?
I think I must contribute to this debate because it's really unfair for provinces. These bills, they sit in the National Assembly for months.
Yeah.
And when they are referred to the chairman of the NCOP, you expect the provinces and local government to jump like mad cats.
Okay.
You see, we're to stop our operation. It means that the provinces, they must scrap from the constitution that they have got to do some legislative work. Because if such sections that deal with provinces and local government, they should start in the NCOP.
You said it all, Honourable Member. You said it all. I think as a committee we have to look into this matter very acutely. Honourable,
I think the NCOP or these committees should write to the ministers and get the ministers to, because they are the people that introduced the legislation to the NA. The ministers, Section 76 legislation, ministers must introduce in the NCOP. It gives us time to engage with the provinces and all that. I think there was a process at one stage.
Honourable members, I would love us to engage on this particular subject when we are not dealing with negotiating mandate. We're trying to solve a problem and it's not relevant for now. But we have heard your concern. That's something we have to look at. Yes, we do agree. I think we have to look into that and see how do we address that.
Okay, back to Mpumalanga.
Did you get Mpumalanga? Maybe they don't have, you know, amendment. Let's see.
No, they also made comments and page, specific
page one.
On page 4. But let me pick up on two that I can translate into proposals. The one is under 6. The committee commenced under the definition of waste. I think we've already handled that.
Okay.
So we concur with that.
Okay, then.
And then in section...
It should be minuted that
it has been taken up, you know, so that they are... No,
and then in section 35, it deals with the fact that the contaminated land... that the Act will apply on contaminated land even if the contamination occurred before the commencement of the Act. Now, my province is worried about this because they say, firstly, it may have an unfair result. Parties under the impression that they had certain entitlements might find that those entitlements are withdrawn or reduced, and parties under the impression that they had certain obligations might find that those obligations are then increased.
For these reasons, there is a general presumption in state interpretation that legislation should not interfere with the rights and obligations already in existence. And I translate that into meaning that my province says that the application of the law should not apply retrospectively to contaminated land. So if that could be taken as a proposal.
I disagree.
I'm sorry.
Chairperson, I disagree with that proposal. It must be in the stupid.
Yeah, in fact, I hear a member saying he's formulating it. It should not be formulated by you. No. It should come from the province, formulated already, so that we look into whether we do agree with it or not. You can't formulate it here, because there is no longer the province mandate. Is that all? So are they concurring? Thank you very much. They are concurring. Let's go to the Northern Cape.
Sorry, Chairperson. We would just like to respond to the issues around the definition of waste, because it's come up twice now. Unless you and the members just accept that, since there weren't any specific, there wasn't any specific wording that was proposed, that the definition remains the same. If that's the understanding, then we were okay.
You say even the definition stays the same.
The definition of waste.
Yeah.
We have a response to that, but in line with your comments earlier, which was that if there isn't a specific proposal that is being tabled by provinces, we assume that there isn't amendments.
It stays the same.
Okay. All right.
Provinces, it stays the same. Thank you very much. Let's go to Northern Cape. Let's help one another. Whether are they, because the permanent delegates from the Northern Cape is not yet here. Let's check quickly whether are there proposals that we should look into. Let's help one another. I see submissions from communities, recommendations of them. You have. Page what?
Point six.
Chapter 5, License of Waste Management Activities. The chapter is in need of a clause stating at the onset of the chapter who, what needs to be licensed. No, there's no formulation. Where is it? All waste management, where does it start?
It starts proposed
amendment. Proposed amendment, licensing requirement. All waste management activities as indicated in Schedule 1 of the bill needs to be licensed in accordance with this chapter. No, but there's no, is there any formulation? Underlined. Okay, let's hear the department and the provinces coming.
Chair, I think this one might be a misunderstanding of reading sections. The department would be reluctant to put it in Chapter 5 because Chapter 5 dives into the nitty-gritty of processing matters rather than the substantive foundation for triggering licensing activities. If you look in Section 19.4, says until such time as the minister has published a notice, Schedule 1 is applicable. And then Section 20 says no person can commence, undertake, or conduct a waste management activity without getting a license. So I think the provisions are already there in Section 19 and 20, and it would be an incorrect place to try and insert it in the beginning of Chapter 5.
Agreed. Provinces? Do you agree? Provinces agreed? Agreed. Yeah, the portfolio committee position on the bill. After due deliberation and taking note of the public input, the portfolio committee on economic affairs and tourism supports the bill in principle. Agreed. Let's move on. What is the next now? What is the next province? Come on.
So the members agree with the department in this one, right?
Which one?
That this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Okay. So the
this one. In.
So this is on a proposal.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it up.
I'm taking it up, yes. Yeah, I'm having the Northwest also before me. Can you help me also with the proposed amendment? I'm seeing it for the first time. Response to question, summary of input from the top three. Consideration, briefing question. Huh? Conclusion. Yeah, there's nothing, there are no proposed amendments. Conclusion, the chairperson thanked the people, the resolution. The portfolio committee, having considered the bill, resolved to accept and support the bill with amendments. This constitutes the, what is the negotiating mandate on the National Environment Management Waste Bill. Well, if there are amendments, obviously there are amendments. The supporting, if there are amendments agreed by the negotiating forum. Yes. That's there. Let's see the Western Cape. Best cup.
Chair, yeah, thanks. Chair, the Western Cape Parliament, having considered the subject of the National Environmental Management Waste Bill, B39B, 2007, referred to the Provincial Parliament in terms of the rules of the National Council of Provinces, begs to report that it confers on the Western Cape's delegation, the NCOP, the authority to support the bill with the following amendments. The amendments reads as follow. Clause 29, page 21, in line 27. After minister, line 27 reads, the minister may, by notices in writing, require an industry waste management plan to be prepared by an organ of state excluding a municipality. Now, if you could see in paragraph 2, an MEC may by notice in writing, but the Western Cape felt that this is only require an industry waste management plan to be prepared by the provincial department responsible for environmental affairs. There was a bit of a concern, but according to the law advisor in the province, it was, or he acceded to it, that the word MEC won't do any harm. To put it, the minister and the MEC may by notice in writing require an industry.
Thank you very much. Let's hear the department. What are you having to say?
Chairperson, we think that that is really covered in section 28.2, you know, that subsection 2, where the MEC can request a group of persons or an industry to prepare IWMPs.
So you would say
it's covered
under that?
It's covered.
And let it be stated like that for
no, Chair,
the sake of
Chair, no, my province,
any person would include an organ of state.
My province insists that after this, Chair, this is a section 76 legislation and it contains provinces. And it's in the interest of provinces. It's not for the interest of the national department that we are here this morning. We are here in the interest of putting our province's interest first. And my province says that it won't do any harm. The state law advisor also gave us advice. There's no harm in including the MEC after the minister. We're not taking away the minister. It says the minister and the MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van Rooy.
In this case, for the first time that I must agree with Western Cape.
Thank you very much. Other provinces? Other provinces concur. It is agreed.
Sorry, Chairperson, we would like to just expand our explanation on that.
Okay.
I have a concern if we put MEC in the first line, that the second line then becomes problematic. We're tripping over ourselves in terms of drafting style, creating interpretive ambiguity. So if we could maybe just go one step back and a little slowly. Section 28.1. is where government, province, minister and MECs in terms of Section 28 have the power to ask individuals, in other words, polluters, to prepare the industrial waste management plan. The purpose of Section 29 is somewhat different. Section 29 is aimed at getting government departments to prepare those plans on behalf of polluting sectors. So there's that distinction. Section 29.1 deals with the national powers, and Section 29.2 deals with the provincial powers. The reason the distinction was made is not to curtail the powers of the provinces so much as saying that there are difficulties, this is the advice of the state law advisor, in giving provinces the power to compel a national organ of state to do the plan. So to the extent that any amendment were to happen, it should sit in 29.2. Not 29.1. And it might be something you want to take advice from the state law advisor. As I say, that distinction was split on the basis of their advice. Initially, it was combined.
Come in on
that. Chair, that was explained to the province, and the state law advisor said his words were, or her words were, it won't do any harm of putting it in there. We had a long debate of, because if you look at Section 28.2 and Section 29.2, I mean, it is there. The state law advisor advises the province that, and the provincial state law advisor, as well as national state law advisor, when we did the briefing, it won't do any harm of putting it in there.
Let's see how the province...
Chair, on that basis, the province has put it up, has put it in check.
Yeah, other provinces...
Jefferson, as I said, I think I must agree to the Western Cape. If it does do any harm, why exclude it? Put it in. It makes it easier.
Other provinces?
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I think the best up has got it right. The National Council of Provinces represented the interest of the provinces. And as it in that line, if we move back a little, even the Constitution tend to undermine the other house. When other things are being considered, then it only becomes the minister's function that he or she may determine things, whilst the very minister, he or she, has that MINMEC meeting. If there's that MINMEC meeting, that chain should not be broken.
Yeah, honourable members, I would love not to make a statement. We should try to be short and to the point, whether do we agree with this point or not, you know, so that we move on. It is agreed by all provinces.
Chair, could okay. The department request that if...
Let's have the member coming in first.
I agree with the sentiments, but then it seems to me that sub-article 2 would then become redundant. Because then you're duplicating, and that's foolish legislation to duplicate. If we agree, then we should also agree to do delete 2.
Come in.
Chair, I hear what you say. We don't want to debate, but I think that's the drafters of the bill must do that. The state law advisors must come back after redrafting the bill. It's not for us. I'm doing what my province wants me to do, Chair. And in terms of Section 76 of the Constitution, Chair, and in terms of Section 4 of the Constitution, as a permanent delegate of the National Council of Province, I am here to represent my province's interest in the national sphere of government. And I'm just setting out my mandate that's been given to me by my province, Chair. This is the mandate that's been given
by my province.
But we've agreed.
Yeah, you said five provinces have agreed. But let's see what is the department having to say.
I think our concern is if you agree to amend one, then two does become tautologous and redundant, and it's setting one up for legal challenges in court as to what the distinction and interpretation is between the two. If the amendment to Section 29.1 is required, then two does become tautologous and redundant, and for the sake of clarity, it would make sense then to remove two.
Are we in a position to remove two?
Chairperson, in other provinces and proposal, we have stated those clauses that we think that can have a legal challenge. Let's present them here, and then we're supposed to have a legal advice. So let's take as these provinces propose and support, and take what department is advising to us, in order that with the legal advice also finally we'll be satisfied. I'm not saying let's just throw what they are saying, but just because of the support of so much provinces, they mind that we don't want to be going to a constitutional court. So I'm saying that rather than we arguing, let's take as it is and take caution of what the department is saying. But unfortunately, I don't know what is happening. We don't even have an apology of the legal advice. I'm worried.
Yeah, in fact, that's my worry. I was under the impression all along that the department are the people who have to invite the state law advisor when we negotiate, but they are saying that's not their baby. So I don't know. They are saying the committee section should be doing that. It is like that. Yeah, but then we have a problem. If the state law advisor does not come, he's putting this committee in a predicament.
Chairperson, we need from Oscar whether did he invite and what was the response, just because we want an apology of each and everybody who's supposed to be here. And if we don't have an apology, we must tackle with whoever who or she is. Just because first and most, we must know that those people have been invited or not. Oscar can answer us, in order that we must not attack people whether or they did get invitation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van Rey.
Chairperson, I'm of the opinion that the proposed amendment stands because it was agreed by five until such time we are convinced otherwise by the state law advisor that it's unconstitutional. It stands because five provinces agreed to it until we are convinced otherwise.
Yeah, but the honourable member, what I hear the department is saying, they're saying it becomes a tautology that it repeats itself. And therefore, if that is the case, they were saying, if we take it as it is, we're supposed to delete something so that we don't say same thing, which becomes a tautology. And therefore, I think members, we should also be quite reasonable. Unless if we have the power to amend, obviously, everybody would agree you cannot say the same thing twice instead of saying it once. I would love to hear the members. How do we go about it?
I've made my point.
Yeah, you have made your point already, and that's why I want to check with the members. Honourable member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the procedure should be that if the committee, in their view, they think that thing should be in that as it's been stated, it is for the department to go back and go and find out the solution and come back to the committee and said, this is it. That's how we read and that's how we understand and that's what the mandate it is. If there's any changes that need to be done, we are not the scientific people. They are having that kind of a scientific. Then they will probably have to go and sit down and bring a version that will convince us and will have to what's name, communicate to the same to our provinces. Otherwise, if we just chop and done as it is, I don't think we still represent the provinces, what's name, views.
Yeah, we remain in a predicament, moreover, that we don't have the state law advisor with us. Is the state law advisor there? We were going to fight tooth and nail. Because really we're struggling without the state law advisor being present. Are you aware of what are we discussing now?
Chairperson, I'm sorry I'm late. I wasn't aware of the 8 o'clock meeting, and I had another meeting going on simultaneously, which started at 9. But be it as it may,
I didn't have this documents beforehand, and that's really a problem. I will be able to give a considered view if I've gone through this.
Okay, let's organize it like this. Let the department explain what their concern is, so that then you could take it from there. Let's see, department.
We'll do that. We'll do that shortly, but Chairperson, I wanted to just respond to the point that was raised about the department considering the various mandates and then responding. In fact, we got these mandates yesterday when we got to Cape Town, and we worked through all of them. What we are presenting here today is the department's view. What we can do, if that is what the committee wants, is we can put the responses in writing. But the responses that we are giving today is the department's considered response. The second thing is that some of these issues that are coming up are not new issues. So we have had some of these comments and proposals and suggestions made before. And we've considered, we've had ample time to consider most of these suggestions. So what we're giving you here today is not, you know, is really a very considered opinion of the department, which has, you know, some of the things have gone through public participation as well.
I requested that what is before us, Clause 29, as proposed by the Western Cape, that you state what you are saying as a department, and the state law advisor will understand what the provinces are having to say, so that then he should make up his mind to advise legally. Can we do that?
Chair, I understand you asked me to summarize for the state law advisor what the concern was. Western Cape has proposed that clause 29.1 be amended to say the minister or MEC may by notice in writing require an industry waste management plan to be prepared by an organ of state excluding a municipality. The concern that the department has is if you give the MEC the powers in section 20, in clause 29.1, clause 29.2 becomes redundant and repetitive and is going to result in interpretive opportunities and opportunistic behavior and debate. So to the extent that 29.1 may be amended, then we're suggesting that clause 29.2 be removed.
Yes, Chairperson, I agree with what the department says. Subsection 2 is actually a mirror of subsection 1, and it's not clear for me why one should add "and the MEC after minister" in subsection 1, because the MEC has the power in subsection 2, and then if you insert "and the MEC" in 1, 2 becomes redundant. So my advice is that we leave the two sections as they subsections as they are.
Honourable Adams?
Chair, to be honest with you, the state law advisor, I was there at the briefing. We told that I was there at the negotiating mandate in my province. Fine, Chair. Now, if we look further down, section 4, as well as section 3, what harm will it do if the province says, but put in and the MEC? There's no harm. And that's on the advice of the department, the Western Cape Provincial Department's law advisor, as well as the state law advisor, Chair. So then, I mean, these law advisors then must speak out of one mouth. Because it's on their advice. They said there's no harm in putting it in. And that's why the Western Cape has put it in. And like I again said, Chair, I'm here to negotiate on behalf of my province, not of the department.
Thank you, honourable members. Let me put it then to vote. Provinces which concurs with what is proposed from the Western Cape, can we hear? I want to move on now. What are the provinces having to say? You agree? Is there a province that disagrees?
I disagree. I think reducing Mr.
Okay. Okay, so the majority of provinces are saying they do agree. Let's take it as proposed. Let's go to clause 35.
Clause 35 on page 23 and line 43 to omit paragraph 2.
Department.
Subsection 2. This part does not apply to banks which held land before the commencement of this act and which land is sold for the purposes of foreclosures, provided that the land is sold without delay. Why must the banks be excluded? Why?
Come in, department.
This was a hotly contested debate with the banking society, or whatever they're called, making very serious and earnest representations to the Portfolio Committee in the National Assembly. Essentially, their argument that persuaded the Portfolio Committee, and that's where this amendment came in at that stage, was that they are holding land already over which they have had no control as to whether there's been pollution or not. The economic consequences to business practices would be enormous if this section were to be applied retrospectively. The idea is, in making it prospective for them, one would be giving them time for them to change banking practices to make sure that their lending policies do make them more accountable and do bring them in line to ensure that they are not in fact funding pollution behavior. But the Portfolio Committee was persuaded that it shouldn't be applied retrospectively because they're not directly engaged in the process. When they made the representation, I think the department's initial feeling was probably that they shouldn't be indulged. However, we went away and we did some international research. We looked at the United States of America, we looked at Australia, we looked at Britain, where they've had similar experiences on this. And what we found was that most of those jurisdictions have had to amend their legislation to include a clause like this because of the enormous unintended consequences of the banks being pursued as the one with the deepest pockets and just basically finding it iniquitous and bringing some banks to their knees. So all those international jurisdictions have in fact changed their legislation to now provide that their legislation won't be retrospective, and we took guidance from the lessons that were learned internationally.
Provinces? Honorable Van Rijen?
Chairperson, the explanation given us to you on why it should be there, I don't think it makes sense to me, because if you exclude one sector of the economy, then others will go to the Constitutional Court and say, but why isn't agriculture land excluded? Why isn't mining excluded? We are opening ourselves up here for a thing, and the banks, as far as I consider, although the and they say now with this thing of the high interest rates in housing, they don't want to own houses, but yeah, they don't want to take the responsibility for it, so they can't have it both sides. I support Western Cape on this.
Chairperson, I think, you know, the basis on which the banks are excluded is the fact that in terms of what's happened in the past, they have had no, they've really had no contribution to the contamination that may be there. Whereas if we say from the date of the promulgation of the waste bill, what we're asking them to do, we're basically giving them the opportunity to, if necessary, alter their lending arrangements in such a way that they can build in measures by which they can control or monitor pollution that happens on land for which they've issued loans. And I think what we really have to understand is that if we take out that section, basically we're looking at a situation where banks are going to be much more careful a whole lot of people and industries are not going to have access to finance. and that is going to have huge implications.
Special delegate from KZN.
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, the department has got to understand that we are charged by the Constitution to legislate. They are charged by the Constitution to apply the legislation that we have passed. And here it's a parliament is composed of two houses. We are a house. If they did that, it means we must rubber stamp as an NCOP what has been done by the National Assembly. We cannot, because we are here carrying a mandate of provinces. So we cannot now change our mandates that we've been given. So they've got to understand our procurement, that we've got to do what we are assigned by the Constitution to do. We hear their explanation, but we happen to be carrying the mandate of the provinces.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Mzizi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to go a little bit further beyond that, sir. The department are there to interpret law to us because they have the legal expert on it. But there are statements which are political statements, which I think if in, and then it requires them to go back, they will have to consult the political head, who is the minister in this case, so as to clarify issues, because they cannot engage in politics. We are now interpreting a political statement here, which they'll have to advise us, but if we feel this is how we see things, and it is for them to go back to the political principle, and then say to this is the issue.
As we would say, we will not be able to understand. Honourable members, you'll pardon me by cutting you short. We have another bill that we have to conclude before 11 o'clock. You will really pardon me so that we get there. But if you have said your issue and we got it, then I will cut you off because we understand what you say. So that in terms of time, I'm trying to manage your time. Honorable Adams.
Chair, the banking industry has also made a presentation in the province to this, and what the province was an actual fact worried about is the last part, two sentences. It says, provided that the land is sold without delay. Now, if a land is contaminated, I mean, the banking industry would want to get rid of it because it's contaminated. And then they sell this land at below ridiculous prices to friends and other industries that they know that can treat the land. Not to the ordinary man that has got the land and through unforeseen circumstances or what the land has been contaminated, that man doesn't have the chance to remedy and rectify the situation. They just sell the land to any industry that will then come in and
treat the land. Thank you very much. What are the provinces saying then on this proposal? You support? Western Cape is supported on clause 30, the amendment on clause 35. Let's see clause 69.
Chair, on page 37, 46, line 46. The Western Cape just feel that after the word service provider or double D should then go to double E and double E to double F, and double D should be added in the development of a strategy in terms of which unpermitted waste disposal sites which exist when this act commences must be dealt with, for the transfer of functions in this regard from the department to provincial departments and for the funding of that process.
That's a proposal.
Yeah.
Let's hear the department. What are your comments?
The department is happy that there should be a development of a strategy for the unpermitted waste disposal sites, but didn't feel that regulations were the place that one should house that, because one doesn't normally pass regulations to regulate government's own internal administrative activities. and the department feels that that's covered under the waste management strategies and the implementation plans that are up front in section 6 and onwards in the with the bill. With regards to the transfer of the function of licensing, the department doesn't believe that that should be in this bill, because there will be no transfer of that function in terms of this bill. When this bill becomes an act and commences, the function will be the provinces. The transfer would have happened in terms of, I think the transfer one's talking about is the arrangements that are happening, happening under the Environmental Conservation Act. In terms of this act, provinces have the power, so there won't be a transfer or a transitional arrangement.
Chairperson, if I can just add to that, in fact, that transfer that's been referred to here has been, the details now not talking about the transfer at all. We are waiting for the bill so that automatically it becomes the function of provinces.
So
we think that there might be a bit of a misunderstanding there.
Let's hear the provinces.
Yeah, if the transfer takes place, or like the department just said, who provides for that funding? Because provinces hasn't got money to provide for that funding. And also, in terms of the first one, if I understand the department clearly, or what the provinces says is that unpermitted waste sites should get permits now when this act commences.
Thank
you, Chairperson. I think in this matter, I'd be quite easily if tribal blood will contain in the regulations, because some of the things may not be put in the Act. When there are changes, then it means that we must amend the VAT's name, the Constitution, or amend the VAT's name, the Act. So probably they're contained in the VAT's name in the regulation, where it's flexible. If it does not work, then it can be changed.
Honorable provinces.
In some of clauses, the one, the 35 and 69, I'm reserving my comment as Eastern Cape. Also, I'm taking this advantage that the state law advisor was saying he didn't read, and maybe when he's coming on the final mandate, we'll be getting a good version. We'll be listening and take care of whatever provinces are saying, just because really I was not happy that he was not having this information. So we'll have the chance of hearing from himself on our final mandate. So I'm just noting, in order that I'll tell my province what the other provinces are saying, and then their response, it will be fine and good in the final mandate, that just because he's going to have a chance of taking all our comments.
No, remember, we'll cut you short. We want to know what is the Eastern Cape having to say. We have a proposal tabled before us, and we're negotiating whether provinces are agreeing or not agreeing.
I negotiate with my other colleagues of the provinces that the department gives us this, the explanation of clause 69 in writing. I take it back to the province, and all the other members take it back to the provinces to see what the department says and what the provinces says, because I also feel that it's a bit, you know. So yeah, can we?
Fine. We're done with Western Cape. Thank you very much. It was a marathon. Let's hear the Eastern Cape quickly.
We've got three more Eastern Free State.
Is that so? Hey, then I'll pick it here, Magali, for a moment. How is
Where is the mandate?
Unfortunately, the board was not put on, unfortunately, the set concern, and what's been saying in this committee, if the problem is with their mandate as concerned,
amendment. So, but when I was reading their concerns, they are similar with other prophets, but I don't want to take your time about concerns. The Eastern Cape is saying that it's considering negotiating Monday and vote for the adoption of the bill. You can read their concerns, maybe the department. You can see what you can do in our final mandate. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Let's have the Free State.
Listen, basically, same as Eastern Cape, we haven't got firm proposals. It's just the committee has resolved that all municipal bylaws should be aligned, and that's it.
Let's hear Gauteng.
Thank you, Chairperson. It seems to be Gauteng also. Will support. There's no, because it says agricultural conservation and environmental portfolio committee supports the principle and details of the National Environmental Management Waste Bill.
Thank you very much. We're done. We're done with this bill. Let's move to the other bill. We hope we'll be able to maneuver within a short space of time. I thank you. What is it about? Which one is not the one we are getting to now?
No, that was the bill which is missing. It was the proposed amendment, number 3 and 4.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, there's something we deferred because the state law advisor was not here on KZN. We wanted to have, you know, the state law advisor. What is it again? Do you still remember that?
The two issues, it was the issue around the one proposal was saying that the norms and standards for tariffs shouldn't be set by the minister, but the MEC. That the MEC must set the standards for tariffs at local government.
Yeah, I would love to hear the.
Chairperson, yes, the department briefed me. I had a short brief on the matter, but may I ask you to come back to you on that matter because it needs an opinion, and I would like you to consider all the relevant clauses of sections of the Constitution and give you a considered view.
Well, if it is agreed, let it be so then. Okay, thank you very much. I think you. You happy? We have done it. We see. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We starting with the coast management bill, integrated coast management bill. We must move now. We must move. I'm now gonna. You must be straight. To the point. You don't jigger-jigger, ne? You don't jigger-jigger. You tell us what you want to tell us. Don't go to Johannesburg and go to Western Cape and come this way. I do. I'm leading you. You must...
but you see, the church siding with the department and we are siding with our provinces.
No, I'm not siding with the department. But I'm trying to keep the balance so that you don't just become emotional and, you know. I'm keeping the balance. I should not be on the side of the committee, but we want the truth here.
Okay, honourable members, we move into the next bill. We want to welcome the department, and we have constraints of time. We know you, the leader of the delegation, as your people talking will be introducing themselves. But otherwise, I'm asking the Eastern Cape to talk to their mandate. Eastern Cape, talk to your mandate. And let us again be precise. Let's address the issues that are amending the bill.
Eastern Cape, come in.
What is it? It's the new one. It's old.
Oh, why are you giving me a
new
one? Okay, Eastern Cape, we're waiting.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Eastern Cape can talk only in two proposed amendments of section 14.5 of the bill provides for the arbitrary, let me not read, 3.5 and 3.6 and these are proposed amendments, and so will be voting in favor. So if the department can look at page 2 and talk to 3.5 and 3.6.
Section 14.5 of the bill provides for the arbitrary alienation of private property. This infringes section 25 of the constitution, which provides that no one may be deprived of property except in terms of law of general application, and no law may be permit arbitrary deprivation of property. What is the department having to say?
Thank you, Chair. I'll ask Advocate Razak to respond to that.
Thank you, Chair. Very briefly, Section 14.5 does not deal with deprivation of property. It's dealing, I'll ask Dr. Milan to explain the scientific and technical issues around it, but the legal issues are that you're looking at a position of the high watermark, which is not determined by man, but determined by natural processes. And what 14.5 is saying is that if the high watermark, due to climatic conditions or whatever coastal processes are in place, moves over a period of 3 years, and that high watermark comes across the boundary of private property for the person's own safety, the boundary of that property will automatically then be moved, shifted upwards, so that there would be the high watermark would cause them to lose property on the part where it is now interceding the private property. The converse is also true. In other words, if the high watermark goes lower, their boundaries may extend. I think the key to this issue is to understand that there's no deprivation that's taking place. Nobody is taking any property away. What the section is purporting to do is to allow the natural processes to determine those boundaries in order to protect the safety of individuals who have properties that are so close to the high watermark. I think perhaps Dr. Milan can explain the processes and how we came to the formulation of 14.5 with regard to the high watermark.
Yeah, I'm going to ask that we really see the real answer. And we move on. We have only 1 hour.
Come in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've got sort of two different scenarios. On the one hand, you've got property along the coast that have got normal cadastral boundaries. In other words, it says my property is 20 meters by 30 meters. So it's very clear where your boundary is. That's the one scenario. The other kind of scenario is where they say in your title deed that your one boundary is the high water mark, which can move. So basically what this section says, and it's already like that in terms of the Seashore Act, so there's no change. If the high water mark moves towards the sea, in other words, if the land gets bigger or the beach gets bigger, you will actually gain property. If the high water mark moves further inland, you will lose property. That is if so your title deed says it's bound by the high water mark. So there's no change, it's already like that. And I've noticed that KZN, and we'll get to them later, they're concerned about the people gaining property. But we're not changing anything as far as that is concerned. What the bill also says, and it's already like that, in the Seashore Act, the current Seashore Act, it says if there's uncertainty on a boundary, or there may be erosion of the coast, you already can, using the Land Survey Act, ask that your uncertain boundary be determined and be replaced by a straight line. That's already operational. So this bill again makes provision for a mechanism to replace an uncertain boundary by a straight line. However, it then goes further and it says if the you can only do that if your boundary has moved over a period of 2 years. It does then say that if your boundary moves inland, in other words, the coast is eroding, and it stays there for 3 years, you basically, that will become your new boundary. But it goes on to say, if the coast then grows...
I think we've got it. Let's hear the problems as well. Are you having to say? Honorable Mzizi, Honorable Van Rijn?
Chairperson, I think I fully concur with the department there. This is something that can be predicted by nature.
Honorable Van Rijn?
Chairperson, I must disagree. I think I agree with Eastern Cape because you can't deprive anybody of land. The Constitution provides for that. And we can't now put a law here that is above the Constitution. I must agree with Eastern Cape.
Honorable...
I also agree with Eastern Cape because especially, you know, it's no good saying that if it goes back, they'll gain again at the rate of global warming. Nobody's ever going to go, thank you very much. Just going to lose.
I have a problem.
Yes, KZN agrees with all provinces agree.
Except Gauteng.
We don't have except Gauteng. Okay, let's move on. 3.6, let's
you
move.
You never know.
3.6, that's the two you said, Honourable Member. 3.6, Section 32.1b must be rephrased to be accompanied by a diagram as defined in Section 1 of the Land Survey Act 1997 of the land involved, which must be signed by a land survey. Let's hear the department.
Chair, we don't have a problem with that amendment.
You don't have a problem.
The subsection is quoted incorrectly. It should be 32.2b, not 1b.
32.2b. Fine. The department agrees with that. All the provinces agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the Eastern Cape. Let's go to the. Where? How is this paper? You put this. Free State,
come in. Honorable Van Rooyen, come in. Chairperson of Free State, say vote in favor
of the bill.
Thank you very much, Free State. You are so helpful. Yes, Gauteng.
The same support.
Yes. Then, what is the next one? KZN? Support.
Okay.
We've got to see. You got it. Hey, we've got the figures.
Yeah. To see the
city. How the department respond because to the specific amendment that are proposed in page 4. So to save your time, it's up to the department to respond.
Page 4, you say?
Yes.
In the department, page 4, 1 to 14. Is it one you're saying they should respond to?
But the this is in.
Can we start, Honorable Department? Let the department kick off. One. Department, are you there? I think you have read this and you should help us. We're trying to save time. Let's move on. Number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I share the concerns of KZN, and that is that there may be pollution from stormwater outlets. We recognize that, and the bill allows us to make detailed regulations if necessary. I do not agree with the proposal that's on the table to adjust the definition of effluent. We have rechecked this again. We believe it is adequately covered. The definition says any liquid discharged into the coastal zone as waste and includes any substance dissolved or suspended in the liquid. So if somebody goes and puts an illegal sewage outfall or outlet into your stormwater system, I think it's covered on two ways. First, in terms of the definition, and secondly, if you've got a stormwater pipe that runs 24 hours a day, it's no longer a stormwater pipe, because stormwater pipe should only run when it rains. So then you can actually charge that guy for illegal disposal through a pipeline. So I think the system, our recommendation is to retain the existing wording.
Let's hear the provinces. Agreed? Agreed. Number two?
They agree with the department.
Yeah, they agree with the department. Number two?
Number two, we don't think is a necessary amendment, because if one looks at the wording on page 15, it's defining coastal public property. It's saying that it can't be alienated, it can't be sold, etc. But it doesn't mention lease. Section 65 and 66 talk to coastal leases. So it really is adding nothing to that definition. We really don't see why it should be put in there. In any event, the context of 65 and 66 are self-explanatory. I can't. They've not motivated why they think it should be put there, and we can't see that there's any reason it should be.
The department is saying it's not adding any value to
what is already there. What are the provinces having to say? Agreed. Agreed. All the provinces. Agreed. Let's go to three.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That section basically says that if the minister wants to charge a fee for access to coastal public property, like to a beach, we must first consult the public. The word there is may. The recommendation is that it changed to must. The reason why we didn't put must there is there may be minor issues like access to a harbour, for example, or access to a protected area. So in those cases, it's no good having a huge public participation process. Obviously, if it is access to a private beach, then yes, we're not going to support that easily, and we would like to have wide consultation. So while we don't feel strongly, I think just for certain administrative reasons, it makes more sense to have the word may there in this case.
Honourable provinces, Honourable Van Rooyen.
I agree with KZN.
You agree with KZN? Let's see other provinces, Honourable.
In terms of a constitutional court outcome or judgment, you can't exclude public participation. There's no way you can exclude that, and the minister should know it, and the department should know it by all means, whether it's a small or a minor thing. Public participation in terms of whether it's government or what, it's necessary, Jay. So I think we agree with that must.
Other provinces, do you agree?
I agree.
All provinces are agreeing with KZN on this point. Number four.
Chair, we don't have a problem with four. It's an improvement on the existing wording.
Agreed. Number five.
Four is agreed. Let's go to five.
Number five, come in. Let's move. We have a lot of work within this hour. Come inside.
Chair, can we please beg your indulgence and skip that one for now? We'll get back to it during.
Okay, let's go to six.
Mr. Chairman, if I can speak to that, 6, 7 and 8 are all referring to page 19. That should refer to page 17 for a start. And then the proposal is really in 6 and 7 to change the word land unit to earth. My concern is there, I'm not sure if a farm will also be seen as an earth. So either we must stay with land unit, which I think is broader, or we must say land unit and earth. I propose that we stay with what we've got. That's 6 and 7.
Agreed? Agreed. Agreed? They agree with the department that it should say land. If it's air, then you seem to be throwing away, you know, farm, land, etc., etc.
To hear it correctly, what's the harm if we say land and earth? Like the presenter has explained to us, it should either be okay. Land or land and earth.
Okay.
That would confuse the issue. It's a land unit is an earth.
Yeah.
Then we must say land unit and the earth and the farm and the portion.
Yep. And the plot.
Yeah.
Okay. So we agreed it stays as it is. You said it's 6, 7, 6, 7 and 8, is that so? Then let's have 9.
No.
Mr. 6 and 7, Mr. Chairman.
Well, 6 and 7, let's have 8.
8 should also be page 17. That is the section dealing with the composition of coastal protection zone. What the KZN is proposing here is that we add in the words within the coastal protection zone. The difficulty here is we're trying to define the coastal protection zone, so we can't cross-refer to it. Because we haven't got a coastal protection zone yet. So that is I think from a legal perspective, it doesn't seem to make sense. I can understand what they where they're coming from, but their proposal doesn't seem to work.
Provinces, come in. Do you agree with the department? Other provinces, or everybody agrees with the department on 8? So it says that this is as it is. 9. Come in. Come inside.
Can I propose, Chair, that we go back to 5 and then again come back to 9?
To 9. Let's do so. 5.
Chair, there's a proposal in 15.2. The provision says no person may construct, maintain, or extend any structure or take other measures on coastal public property to prevent or promote erosion or accretion of the seashore, except as provided for in this Act. Now, there's a proposal that we delete except as provided for in this Act, and we have a problem with that because there may be, the idea here is not to have a blanket exclusion of this. There may be times where it's extremely necessary to take measures to prevent erosion and accretion, because again, you're talking about natural coastal processes and taking mitigating and preventive measures to address potential danger. And this Act provides safeguards when doing that. So the idea is follow the prescripts of this Act, and to take that out kind of makes it appear like you can't do it at all and there's no exceptions, which is incorrect. And that's why we feel that it should stay as it is, because the fact that the Act is being put in as a measure, as the framework put in which these activities can take place, is correct.
Thank you very much. That's on 5, honourable members. The department is proposing that it remains as it is. Agreed? Is it agreed? Agreed. It is agreed. 5 is agreed. Let's go to 9. Yeah, agreed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The proposal on the table is not clear because it can either be added as 23.3e or it can become part of the sentence of 23.3d. So we're confused about that. If it's added as section E, that is fine. But it doesn't make sense to have it existing wording of D. So if the promises was to introduce it, we won't object, but then it must become 23.3e. That's point 9. So the provide for rehabilitation or mitigation purposes will become the new 23.3e.
Honourable members, you agree? We agree with the department.
But in holiday, the mandate states, you see, procedurally, we must decide on this mandate. This makes no procedure for 23.3e, so they must either refuse this or accept this.
No, it's not accepted.
Okay.
It's not accepted. Yes.
Now let's go to 10.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The proposal is to change in 10 and 11 the word may to must. This is all about boundary adjustments. I would like to point out that in section 26, there are 5 mays, and we don't understand why the provinces wants to only change 2 of those. Either we must remain all as may, or we must change all 5 to must. We are comfortable with may as it stands.
Provinces? Come on board, come on board. Yeah. No, I understand we'll have to work on that. Definitely, we'll have to work on that. But are you agreeing with the department?
We got it last night.
they got it this morning. This is a problem. Number 10, come in.
Mr. Chair, I think we've covered 10 and 11 and agreed it must stay to as may.
Why can't it change to must?
Come inside.
Raised by the department, in that there's 5 or 7 mays, the president is pointing to 2. So do we only accept the 2 if we want to agree with the department, or do we agree that the may covers what the act wants to happen? I think may covers it. I'd like to know what the benefit of must will be.
Let's see other provinces.
I share the same sentiment, sir.
Okay, let's see other provinces. Provinces, come in. Ela, I'm waiting for you. Just the word may and must say, you can't do that to me.
I like may because global warming of opinions before I got right here to coast. May is an absolute cover everything. I cannot forget it all beyond.
No, but it's the 2 words, may or must. It's very short.
Kevin, maybe I can add additional information. My understanding is it's just a cross-reference to which section the MEC or the minister must use or may use. So it's not going to make any changes because the detail of how the minister must go about it or the MEC must go about it is spelled out in the section it refers. So whichever way we go, it's going to make no difference in practice.
Okay. Honorable Fanyola agrees. All the provinces agree? They agree. Let's move on. 12. Yes, no. Come. We're moving. The provinces must stand on their toes. They must stand on their toes. 12.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's the one that says the minister must appoint the National Coastal Committee. We agree with that.
Agreed. 13.
Chair, we don't have a problem with that suggestion either.
Agreed. 13, agreed. 14.
We agree with 14 as
agreed,
well.
14. 15.
Agreed, 15.
Agreed, 15. 16.
Agreed 16.
Agreed 16. 17. 17.
Chair 17.
Chairperson, before, my mandate ends with 12.
with mine also. From Jesus. What?
No,
that's nothing. That's nothing.
There's nothing. There's nothing that is in page yeah. then.
No, they've got a wrong one. They've got a weight management of. This page
further.
This page
further.
Why did they bring the
I don't know why they did.
Okay, let's move on. 17 Cummings.
Chair, we've got the department's got a strong objection to the proposal in 17. It implies.
Listen, honourable members. Let's listen.
It's saying that Section 63 is unnecessary. For us, Section 63 is critical to this bill because it's not merely a cross-reference to Chapter 5 of NEMA. NEMA talks to certain EIA processes. What Section 63 does is, as a special Environmental Management Act in terms of NEMA, talks specifically to the coastal issues and the considerations that need to be taken into account, the additional considerations that need to be taken into account when EIAs are conducted in the coastal areas. So if you take that out, you're taking a substantial part of the bill out.
Let's hear the problem. They agreed with the department?
Yeah.
Everybody? Yeah. Agreed. Okay, 18.
Let's move on very fast. Let us be fast. Yay.
Chair, on 18, the department's view is that it's not necessary to put this in the legislation because what happens is there's a provision in 66.1b where the minister can prescribe conditions when giving out these leases, and he may want to put a lot more than just the rehabilitation of land in there, and that's why that was left open. It's a mechanism to ensure the integrity of the coastal public
provinces. Provinces? Makes sense. Agreed. 19.
Mr. Chairman, 19 talks about the minister allowing certain things on a temporary basis, for example, when there's an emergency. The proposal is to say that as long as it's done in a manner that doesn't adversely affect the environment. The problem that we've got with that is, let's say, for example, there's a boat that strands on the beach. You now need to push a road to get to that beach and save people's lives, for example. You haven't got time always to do it in an environmentally friendly way and put people's lives at risk. So either we must water that down or we must leave it out completely. We would propose that we don't include it in for emergencies.
Provinces? We keep it as it is, the departmental way. Okay, 20.
We don't have a problem with 20, Chair.
Agreed. With KZN, 21.
21 has an impact also on 24, and we'll try and talk to them together. In fact, all of from 21, 22, 23, 24 talk to the same issue. In our view, this is a whole hullabaloo for what is perceived as a cosmetic change, so that you bring all appeals and they're spoken to in one go. But the reason we separated this out is because when we're talking about repair and removal notices and appeals in terms of that, we didn't want to create any confusion or doubt in the minds of affected people. Because remember, if you say a person aggrieved by a decision may appeal, it means anybody can appeal. But with regard to repair and removal notices, only the affected people we want to be the appellant in that instance, because they're the ones directly affected by a notice issued to repair something or to remove something. So the appeal procedures set up for that are separated from the other appeal procedures which deal with general appeals by people aggrieved by decisions. So you do open up the panel with regard to other decisions in the bill being appealed.
Thank you very much.
In a generic way.
Thank you very much. Let's hear the provinces. We abide by the department. Thank you very much. 26, 25?
Yes, 20. Thank you, Mr. Chair. 25, 26, and 27 all relate to the same issue.
Chief.
25, 20?
25, 26, 27, 28.
We have an objection to these particular proposals because it's saying that we need to take out the minimum fines and put in a very vague clause which says the removal of the worlds to a fine up to 5,000 or 500,000, whichever the numbers are, and the insertion of the words or to an equivalent fine after the word 10 years. Now, there's no guide as to what is the equivalent fine, and one would have to go to the Adjustment of Fines Act. And if you go to the Adjustment of Fines Act, the amounts are considerably lower than the ones that are here, and it's going to defeat the impact of these penalty provisions. So we would prefer to keep the figures in rather than a vague term equivalent fine because magistrates need
to. The provinces are saying we agree with what the department is saying. 28 is the last point.
We've got no objection.
What is the mechanism for updating these fines? Because you know, at the rate inflation goes, they get outdated very quickly.
Correct, and that's one of the problems with the Adjustment of Fines Act because it's kind of way below. What the only thing that we have to do is be really astute in our annual law review process to make sure that we address this on an annual basis. Yes.
Are you covered?
Yeah, thank you, KZN. You give us a marathon, you know. Oh, are we still having 28?
No, we're okay with
28. No problem.
Yeah, okay with 28. Agreed with 28. Thank you very much, KZN. But I think you should be happy. Most of your phones have been taken out. We really commend KZN for the hard work done. And thank you also, honorable members. Let's go to Limpopo. Come on. No. Come in, Limpopo. Limpopo, ignore them. Come in, Limpopo, please.
Pretty, thank you. They are in a hurry. They will just want to get rid of Limpopo, and it's not going to be easy.
KwaZulu Natal, you say here that Ms. Shabala is the chairperson of KwaZulu-Natal Standing Committee on National Council of Provinces Matters. Is it correct? Is it how your committee structured?
Okay, Limpopo.
Yeah, like the previous bill chairperson, Limpopo is making general comments.
Thank you very much.
So Limpopo is supporting. Let's go to Northern Cape. Northern Cape.
Which one is this one?
There's nothing substantive here, Chair.
Nothing substantive. Northern Cape supports. What is this one? Can you help me? Which one is this?
No, this is Western Cape. This is Western Cape. Where is the deal in Mpumalanga first?
Mpumalanga, come in.
Mpumalanga by the sea, supports the bill.
Supports the bill, thank you. Which is the next one? Come on, my good.
Western Cape.
Are you want to come in?
I'm worried. What is this province? When I'm reading Nikosi Mandi, it is of the Western Cape. I don't see anything saying Western Cape.
Yeah, they say that's Western Cape.
Chair, the member can just turn the pages around and look at the next page.
Okay, let's move. Spare my time. Yeah. Western Cape, let's move in.
Chair, on page 9, in line 41. I also see you.
Come in, Western Cape.
Western Cape, come in. I think we are on
number course. One, sir. We are on number one.
Yes, we are on course. Let's move.
Close one. You have 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's have the department to hear what are they having to comment.
Chair, if you'll allow us, we would make one comment, is that these proposed amendments by the Western Cape are acceptable to the department.
Accepted.
Yes.
Thank you very much. 1, 2, 3, 4, ne?
All of them, Chair.
Yes!
All of them? Hey, that's good news. All of them are accepted by the department.
Chair, we just want to thank the advocate. Thanks, Chair.
That is the Western Cape. What is the next one? May Dennis be on my side.
No, Northern Cape.
Okay.
I'm chairing. I'm still the chair. I'm still chairing, Honorable Watson. The Northwest, they say they don't have a coast, you know.
And who's the other one?
We're done. I mean,
Chair, if we're done with the Western Cape, there are some issues that the department would like to raise. If
okay, let's listen.
Chair, we beg your indulgence. While we were going through these things, a number of errors or improvements occurred to us along the way, and we're hoping that we can have an opportunity here to present it to the committee in the hope that these could also be presented as amendments. I don't know whether this is possible at this stage, but if you'd indulge us, if we could just say our 1, 2, 3, 4 additional amendments. I've made copies of the proposals, if you'd allow me to distribute them.
Yeah, well, I don't know, the members will comment, but we are at a stage where we're taking amendments from provinces, and therefore I think it will be appropriate if there's something like that, that this forum can consider, you know, the amendments. If they are valid amendments and accepted by this committee, then they form a package of the negotiating mandate back to the provinces.
Thank you, Chair. We're much obliged. If I can talk you through, the first proposed amendment is a definition of the word government purposes. I'm not sure if the other provinces were aware, but there've been a lot of representations from other organs of state, such as Transnet, for example, where they are concerned about harbours and so forth. So there've been a lot of debates about some of the things that they're agitating for. One of the proposed amendments at Portfolio Committee, just to put you in the picture, was in clause 27. Of the bill, which says that before excluding any area from coastal public property, remembering that coastal public property has special protection in terms of the bill, the minister may exclude any area from coastal public property for government purposes by proclamation. And then it says the minister may exclude any area from coastal public property for any other purpose with the ratification of Parliament. So there was a discrepancy or a query about what would constitute government purposes. One of our concerns was that it not be used in an untoward manner to expand ports, for example, in an illegitimate way where we have vast tracts of sea that are being reclaimed and sold off to private developers to the extent where we're walking to Robben Island, for example. So we are proposing that we define government purposes specifically to give more a clear understanding as to what scenarios would fall within the scope of that particular subsection. Our proposal is this definition in front of you, which says government purposes means the exercise of functions by an organ of state that are in the national interest or in the interest of national security, but does not include, and that means a donation, leases for more than 20 years, or alienation by that organ of state in the context of clause 27. That's to address the problems that we would anticipate if that particular clause was not defined.
I'm just worried about the
secluded
waterfront.
Okay. Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. The next one would be clause 9. In clause 9, on page 14, line 34, the minister, we've got 9-1 saying the minister acting with the concurrence of the Minister of Agriculture and Land Affairs may acquire private land for the purpose of declaring that land as coastal public property. And I think it was a mistake to put the Minister of Agriculture in. It really should be the Minister of Land Affairs. So to just correct that error, we are suggesting the deletion of Minister of Agriculture. And the next one would be clause 26.
Clause 9, agreed?
Yep.
Agreed.
On page 20, clause 26, if you notice, we need to go to clause 23 first, which deals with the declaration of special management areas. Clause 23 gives the minister, after consultation with the minister, the MEC, by notice in the Gazette, the power to declare an area that is wholly or partially within a coastal zone to be a special management area, or to withdraw or amend any declaration made in terms of that paragraph. The minister is given that power, but then in clause 26, when one looks at line 26, it says a special management area may be determined or adjusted by the MEC in accordance with 23. That is an obvious mistake, because the power is given to the minister, but the cross reference is made to the MEC, and that was definitely one of the errors that were not picked up, and one of the errors we'd like to address to change that MEC to read minister. Otherwise, the section would be incongruent.
Honourable members.
Chair, I'm just worried about what provinces will say. Has this been agreed by MINMEC? Because if it's not been agreed by MINMEC with the minister and the MECs, then provinces will have a problem of taking away the powers of the MEC.
Chair, the point is that the power was never given to the MEC in clause 23. It's given to the minister. So this is an error. It's not a taking away of the power. It's just clarifying an error. Because this clause must be read with clause 23, and it's cross-referencing to clause 23. So the cross-reference is reading incorrectly. It really is just a technical error.
Okay. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. The last one is clause 95 on page 51. On page 51, line 30. Sorry, I'm just trying to get this quickly as I can. Line 30, it says, 95.1 says, subject to subsection 3, this act does not affect the continuation of a lawful lease on land or premises that form part of coastal public property. The words land or premises is very restrictive, because sometimes it's really sea that's being leased, and we thought that to widen the scope of it, the deletion of or to omit the words land or premises that forms part of, and just talk to it would now read a lawful lease on coastal public property, so that you broaden the scope of the of.
Agreed. Yes. Honorable Bengu.
Yeah, Chair, I've got a problem with agreed, because we are here submitting the mandates from the province. Whether are we assuming provinces as we are here, because what we are receiving we've got to take back for the final mandates, because the department, when you say they here, we agreed as though we've agreed, yet it will depend on the final mandate from the provinces.
Yeah, Honorable Bengu is dealing with negotiating mandates.
Yes.
Where provinces are proposing, we agree with that province or we disagree with that province. But it does not mean when it goes back to the provinces for final mandate, they will be sending their final mandate. That's the procedure. Honorable Watson?
I'm just going to say that these, as with the others agreed upon, will be included in the C and the D version, so that the provinces can reject it if they wish.
Chair, good day. My name is Theo Hercules, and I'm standing in for Ms. Hala Sangoni from the State Law Advisor's Office. I just want to draw the committee's attention to item 1 on the proposed amendments from the department. The definition, the appropriate place for the definition to be inserted would be clause 27 and not section 1, clause 1 of the bill, because it's only for that particular clause that the section will be applicable to. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Ladies are great. Okay, it seems we're done. What is it?
Oh, we have minutes. We have minutes. But otherwise, come in.
Before you do, I don't understand the argument. Definitions are under definitions. If you look for the definition, you'd look in one section. You won't go and look somewhere else. Can I just... I don't understand the reasoning for taking it out of one and putting it into 26.
Thank you, Jim. May I respond to the question? The purpose of Clause 1, or Section 1, the definition clause would be for terms used throughout the bill. That particular item that we're going to, or the term that we're going to propose, would only be applicable to Section 27, not to the rest of the bill. So that's why we have it applicable to that particular section. It's only used in that section, that part of the bill, that clause of the bill. So that's why it's the appropriate place to be, basically. Thank you, Chair.
The department's view why they want it in front of the bill, please. Because if it's a definition, it needs to be in the front with other definitions.
Chair, the department doesn't have a strong view on it. It really is a drafting style, and I think the state law advisor is coming from the perspective of their drafting customs. So to us, it really is six of one and half a dozen of the other. We prepare to go with whichever way the committee votes.
Okay. Are you happy? Agreed then. Okay, let me thank the department then. It was a marathon, really. And I think we managed to keep our heads above water. We thank you very much, Mr. Aichisu. And we wish you all of the best then. Thank you, Mr. Durant. Okay, we have minutes before us. Can we look to this minutes? Honorable Van Rooyen, we have minutes before. we have minutes before us. What are you having to say on the minutes? Where are the minutes? Is this the minutes? The minutes dated to the 20th May. Is it 2008? Honorable Lani, you're proposing adoption and supported by Honorable Matlanyani, the minutes are adopted. Is that all? Honorable members, let me thank you heartily, really. It was a marathon to deal with these two pieces of legislation in a very short space of time, and I think you really made justice to them. You did not leave, you know, any stone unturned, and I thank you very much. So,
can I ask a request, please? Just a humble request, if we can get negotiating mandates before time. Even if it's the night before that, we can just look through it. The committee section is really putting us in a disadvantage here.
Respond
here. The idea was to get the negotiating mandates to members timely, but the provinces send it to us. We received the last mandates at 4:45 this evening. Last night. So Matilda is because we even used her fax number. And we didn't send any of the faxes to the section because everybody uses that. So I even arranged with Matilda that all faxes be sent to her and we compile it from there. But the mandates came in late, unfortunately.
When was it the due date for the mandates to arrive?
Last week, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, it's late. If it's last week, Thursday, Friday, it's a weekend already. You see that... I don't know, really it's a problem. The issue of the cycle has to be looked into once more. Because really they are complaining as provinces that we are putting pressure on them. And they are putting back the pressure on us, you see.
What I can do is that as they come in, I give them to members one, because they come in piece by piece. They don't... Yeah. So as they come in piece by piece, we can give it, we can send it to the members piece by piece. But I would have preferred to have them all in one pack and send it.
Okay, that's honourable member.
No, that's what I wanted to say. We did take what the honourable special from KZN, but also I'm still saying maybe I will talk with my province. Whilst the bills are sitting in the NA, we do have chances of going to our provinces, but also our provinces, some of our provinces, they don't submit the negotiating with immediate effect. Some you can get it early in the morning, whilst you did go and give them enough time, they did go to the public hearings, but I don't know what is the problem of coming and formulating their mandates. We do understand we are fighting about 676 that they must start to this house, but they are not. But also we'll appeal, I've said the whips and the chairperson to our provinces immediately that we've gave them the chance. The problem is that they don't formulate mandates with immediate effect.
Yeah, really. I don't know how we're going to get that solved. Honorable Van Rooyen?
Chairperson, yeah, I think we did well this morning by handling both these things, but at one stage we were going too quick and we couldn't follow what actually was meant, and try, because you have to work from a document to the bill and try and find that. It was at some stage it was very difficult to agree or not disagree, and I think that's why you felt at one stage we were quiet, we were trying to find our place. So,
no, that's understood, honorable members, that if you receive the mandates quite late, and we have two bills to deal with, and we have a short space of time, was it 3 hours? So I really understand, but I was also in a predicament. How do we go about it? Otherwise, if we overlap our time, what does it mean again? But I think we're learning by to see how do we move into issues in the future. Honorable Bengu?
I think I must make a plea to you for this permanent delegates.
As permanent delegates, because it's really worrying. I remember last year with a problem where the committee was briefed on health bill because they got it whilst they were processed by the National Assembly. I need to find that now when amendments were made, the final bill that was passed by the National Assembly was different. So our plea is that use the power that be in Parliament, that Section 76 must start with the NGOP.
Yes.
You see, we are failing to understand why up to now the powers that be are unable to reread the Constitution. The purpose of Section 76, powers of provinces. That's what we are failing in the provinces. Because we understand they are able to distribute bills to you. But once now we deal with a raw bill, whereas we are supposed to deal with a bill, once it is passed by the National Assembly, it is referred to the NCOP with amendments. So it wastes our time. But if now it started with the NCOP, it's different.
You're quite right. Yeah. You're quite right. I don't know where does the problem lies, really. Somebody is refusing with Section 76 to be the other side. Honourable member, no.
Chair, to be honest, I don't think we're going to be able to solve this problem. Because if you go back to the Constitution again, who introduces the bill? Or who introduces legislation? And it is up to the minister. If the minister wants to fast track, in actual fact, why they introduce it in the NA is to push it much more fast. It becomes easier for them. Because if it comes, it's introduced in the NCOP, we go to provinces, come with amendments, pass it, goes for concurrence, and if they amend it, it must come back again, we must go back to provinces and consult with provinces. So they find it very easy to introduce it in the NA. Because once it goes back for concurrence, if there are amendments from the NA, they can reject or accept, and they pass the bill. But the point, the principal point you are raising is very important. But for so long as our ministers do not appreciate the role of the NCOP, we will not be able to resolve this issue.
Honorable Durant.
I thought you recognized me, Chair.
Oh, yeah, I recognize him first.
Yes, you're right.
The very fact just mentioned by Honorable Charles means that the ministers are trying to short circuit.
Yeah.
Proper public participation.
Yeah.
And that we must fight with everything in our power. At the programming committee last week, I raised this very question of the confusion of bills referred to provinces. Where they get, as Honorable Bengu just said, they get a raw bill. They get the draft, which hasn't even got a number yet. And then we expect them to know what we're talking about when we go and brief a B bill already. And sometimes even more than a B bill. Whereas the B bill should also be referred to them. So there's a whole confusion of where the bills and how the bills are referred. I agree, it should start there if it's a 76.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member.
Chairperson, as advice, what could be the solution is, at the moment, the department consults with provinces, but it's a technical consultation most of the time with officials. I think before the final bill is introduced into the NA, there should be consultation via the NCOP with provinces. That will help tremendously. I mean, if we look at the amendments today, especially on the wage bill, it was amendments that affected municipalities. Now, the NA doesn't deal directly with municipalities. They are unaware of the sensitivity. I come from a municipality. When I came here, I served on the portfolio committee for provincial local government. And then I discovered NA members have limited understanding of the realities. The major thing with municipalities is unfunded mandates. And if you look at your comments, municipalities and provinces are concerned about unfunded mandates. So therefore, I think you can't circumvent the constitution, as this member said. But you could, before the final, the B bill is introduced, have a session. It will save much more time, in fact. Have a session between provinces and the NCOP must lead that process. Chairperson, then if I may, just some other thing, I didn't want to say it earlier when there was a lot of public around. The issue around boundary on the coastal management bill. It happened now at Balito Bay, where when the sea grew, when the sea came close to the properties, people lost their properties because the boundary can't be adjusted. So what we are doing now, the very same people you want to protect, you are harming. You see, the minute the sea, if this is my yard, right? My property, my house is built here. If the sea encroaches up to there, what can I do with that space? It's water. Just think about it. It's water. It's nothing. But if a beach develops there, right? Listen to me. If a beach develops there and the community says we want access to the beach, you've given the minister the right now to create access on Mr. Van Rooyen's property to that new beach. No. That's what I'm saying. So my suggestion is leave it as it is. Because the high water line is a natural line. It's a natural line. You see, it's in the property owner's interest if that high water line determines his property. It's not unconstitutional.
But think about it.
Honourable Member, thank you very much.